The 10 o'clock hour of Wildy It's Out begins now. And it begins with more of your calls on the Carbless Talkin' text line. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. I see some potential Hall of Famers on hold, including a rare call from Matty Kuhnin, so I look forward to that. But first, another loyal listener to the show down in Atlanta. It is Dave in Atlanta. Dave, good morning. Thanks for holding on, buddy. What do you got?
Oh, happy Victory Monday, man. That was sweet. A huge game. It was so satisfying to prove that they're not, you know, world beaters. In fact, let me just a quick aside, I listened the game day night, whatever it is, yesterday, and Tausch, you were absolutely justified in jumping down Homer's throat. Even when he has a good point, he starts screaming, and he goes off on a tangent. And, you know, I'm glad you put him in his place. He's funny, but he's Homer, right? However, he did have a little bit of a point, if you think about it, when Caleb Williams did his best T.J. Rubley impersonation, and instead of just running for a first down or even a touchdown, he decides to throw a dumb pass. And, yeah, this is a good play by Nixon, but let's face it, that was and people in Chicago apparently say that he does this all the time, that he chokes or just throws bad interceptions at the wrong time. So that's another big flaw of the Bears. But he is able to get outside. You saw how many times he got outside. And the previous caller said, I know it's Mr. Happy in Canada, said, we got to cover the edge. We got to cover the edge a lot better. We did, you know, they were blocking down, and he could go outside anytime he wanted. And so I think if we stop that in the next game, that'll put even more of a crimp in his game. But what a great victory. Two more points I'll just make real quick, which is with Keyshawn Nixon, it's like Jekyll and Hyde, right? He's done this throughout the year. He'll do something stupid or a mouth off. He'll get some personal foul, whatever. And then he makes a good play. So you spin a wheel and you don't really know which Keyshawn you're going to get. But I have to admit, and in the Packers video they showed in the locker room, he apologized for what he called like two dumb penalties. So, you know, he knows it, you know, and that was really cool. That really made it feel a lot better. But, Tausch, like I say, thanks for correcting Homer, but please keep in mind, Tausch, there is a little bit of a point. We had our defense in the second half. I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, it was they could run that through gassed. Us. They could pass through us.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I'm not saying Halfley is a genius. He gets either more credit or more blame. The players play the game. But something happened at halftime where they changed a scheme or I don't know what happened. Maybe you guys could reflect on that.
Well, I also, look, I don't think Caleb Williams is Tom Brady who was calling the game for Fox. But Caleb Williams made some pretty impressive throws that I quite frankly... You know how we used to talk about wow throws, and I used to say that I didn't see enough of those from Love, and then now we see them all the time? That's part of your development as a quarterback. And I saw him make some throws yesterday that I didn't think he was capable of. Like, there was the one where he was rolling, and he gets, I can't remember if it was Loveland or Komet on the sideline, but it is he has to get it over one defender in front of another defender, and it's a tight window on the sideline, and he makes the throw on the run. And so I think we have to give him at least a little bit of credit for making a few plays, even if he made the throw that he did at the end of the game. But you could tell that I thought the defense's problem, Tausch, was that they were simply out of gas.
Yeah, and they got tired.
Again, when you score on a 41-yard touchdown, which is a four-play drive, no one is complaining, and I am certainly not saying that that was a bad thing. But considering that they sandwiched that with 2-3 and outs, the defense was on the field for a long time, and they looked like they were gassed. And sometimes you don't play as well when you're that tired. But they came up with the play at the end, and let's be honest, too, the drive at the end of the game that puts the Bears in position to either force overtime if they kick the extra point, if they get the touchdown or go for two, which I'm sure, I agree with you, I'm sure they're going for it. They move the ball pretty well in a pretty short period of time there, too. I think they still were sucking wind a little bit defensively. So, a great win. I love the fact, I watched that video, too, that, you know, Keyshawn is a brash dude. It's really, it is part of his personality. And I can't quote Micah Parsons on this program. I'd have to use a couple of blanks in it. But he said royalty that Keyshawn's got a...
Just put royalty free on it.
Yeah, royalty free profanity. But he's... I'm glad that he apologized, because those were knuckleheaded moments that he is sometimes going to have, but he came through in the clutch, and that's the biggest apology that you can deliver. Let's get another call in before we go to break. 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. This is more. Let's talk to Matty Kuhn. And Matt, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Good. Great to hear your voice. Been a while.
Is that a Saved by the Bell trivia today I didn't know about, Matty?
Always ready for it if you got one.
Okay. Let me think on you're telling your points. I'll get one.
All right. Yeah, Caleb started this off today talking about being complimentary to Matt LaFleur. I just have to echo that. Like, 4 weeks ago, it really felt like a tipping point on maybe not only his season, but his time in Green Bay. And he's really answered the bell. And I wanted to highlight two plays in the second half where it really shone through. And the first was the touchdown to Watson. When they ran the trips right with Jacobs in the backfield, I was certain that they were going to hand it off on an inside zone. And I think Dennis Allen was certain also. And it really sprung that play loose. Jacobs got hit 2 yards in the backfield. They were selling out on what I was certain was going to be a run. And the second one was the Jacobs 21-yard run. So no secret there that it's a huge play. But they ran that ball under center and pitched it to the right. Again, they avoided the middle of the zone, or the middle zone, and pitched him into open space and let him make a play. I think it's a big deal that Matt LaFleur, on two of the biggest plays in the second half, let his guys make plays. And it really seems like a cool shift in what this offense has been doing the last few weeks.
Great call, Matt. We appreciate you. All right,
Matt, I got a question for you. What was the name of Screech's robot?
Ooh. I don't know. You got me.
What was the name of Tom Brady's partner in crime yesterday?
Kevin Burkhart? Oh, it's Kevin.
His name is Kevin.
Kevin Burkhart.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Screech's robot's name was Kevin Burkhart?
That's crazy. Yeah.
They didn't say what his last name was. It's Kevin. The name was Kevin.
Could have been Burkhart.
I can picture it. It looked like a box with some light bulbs just for eyes.
Wasn't a great robot by any stretch, no.
No. It's a Saturday morning robot.
Stump. Yep. Indeed. Good to hear from you, Matty.
Yeah, you guys as well. I love you guys.
Thanks for the call, Kevin Burkhart. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. That's the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Liz is more. We'll get to more of your calls after Tausch tells us about what he and Sarah have going on with American Family Insurance.
Indeed, Sarah and I, we have teamed up with American Family Insurance to help raise some funds towards the American Family Children's Hospital through a virtual toy drive. All donations will go towards therapeutic supplies and toys that help thousands of children and families across the country. Plus, American Family Insurance, they're going to match every dollar donated up to $50,000 through the end of this year. Visit amfamkids.org to donate today.
More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I mean, it's Packers-Bears. It's a great rivalry. And certainly with what was at stake in regards to positioning in the NFC North, I mean... That's the only thing that matters.
That is Matt LaFleur after the Packers win over the Bears. By the way, if you have not seen the locker room celebration where Matt LaFleur gives out his two game balls, you heard, I think, Dave in Atlanta reference it. It's a good thing he didn't hold a grudge like some of us might have, because Keyshawn Nixon goes back into the game after being benched for his penalty, ends up getting the game-sealing interception, gets a game ball for his efforts, and acknowledges his the error of his ways while his teammates are celebrating. Let's get back to your calls.
J-Dub, did anybody ask Matt after the game if that was – did Keyshawn do that on his own? Because when –
Going back Orlovsky in the game break. Or staying out of the
no,
game?
No. The last play, because it was supposed to, Evan Williams was
yes.
to cover him, right?
Yeah.
So Keyshawn kind of ad-libbed, right, and mm-hmm. did something that he wasn't supposed to?
That is correct, yes. Good thing he did, because otherwise yeah. it's a touchdown. To Evan Williams' credit, again, I always have more respect for the guys that admit when they make mistakes. I blew it. He saved me. That's exactly what he said. Let's get to more of your calls. 844-770-3776. Let's go to Zach in Indianapolis. Zach, good morning. Thanks for holding on, buddy. What do you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? First of all, very, very excited. Congratulations. You know, I spend the whole week stressing about these games, especially the Bears games, and I enjoy it for maybe half an hour, and then I'm on to stressing about Denver. I hate that. I just want to enjoy it. I just want to enjoy it for a little longer. I had a couple thoughts and a couple questions, and I wondered if you guys might have the answers. Why is Nate Hobbs out there when he's not 100%? Why can't we move Bo around, see what he does? Why can't we? It just seems like Nate's always getting burnt. And I know it's because he had surgery. I know he's not 100%, but he's a liability every time he's out there.
I thought it was interesting, Zach, that even though they weren't sure if Javon Bullard was going to play later on in the game, they put him in the slot again and they took Nate Hobbs out. So either
right, exactly. What are you doing? Make a decision.
Yeah,
I know they're just trying to. I know they're just trying to find the pieces that fit and everything. And you know, I like Zane at safety too. You know, I mean. Anyway, a second thing is, you know, the interview after the game where Mike is like, oh, it just happens all the time, gets held on every play. I wonder if Couch, is there something he can do to sell that a little more, you know, to get that call? You know,
yep, great question.
And I have one more thing. How do you feel about Denver? How do you feel? I feel scared, but I feel good.
Yeah, I'll say this, and thanks for the call, Zach. Two things. I'll hit on the Denver part of it first. In April, I just had a hunch Denver was going to be good this year. And they've been pretty good. I thought their defense was going to be really good. Their defense has been really good. Their offense, I give Sean Payton a lot of credit because I think he's done a good job getting things, and he's always kind of felt like he's had Green Bay's number for what, even in New Orleans, it always felt like they were able to come in and do things to us, running the football and mm-hmm. schematically. So I said when that schedule came out, the only game I thought they were going to for sure lose was Denver. I don't know which way I'm going to pick yet. I was dead set. I feel like I almost have to pick Denver because I was so staunch in my Denverisms from back in April and May and June and July and August and September. But their offense is very limited, fellas. I mean, the Raiders held them in check. The Raiders stink on defense. And the Raiders, they scored 7 of their points on a kick or punt return yesterday, boys. So I am up in the air on it, and I will make a determination as the week goes. But I feel like I'll be a little fraudulent if I don't pick Denver. That doesn't necessarily mean. So there's that. As for the Micah Parsons holdings, every time you see when he's ripping and the guy's got him chokeholded around his neck, everybody wants a holding call. if their feet aren't beat, you're not going to get it. Micah could get called. Somebody could has held him pretty much every play. And they ain't going to call that. Can Micah do more as far as acting? And I watched the Marquette-Wisconsin game at the Kohl Center on Saturday. And I'm amazed at how many times, and it's both Wisconsin and Marquette, when they're dribbling the basketball, they whip their head back like they got whiplash. Like somebody just drilled like their Chevy. Ba-bam! The refs eventually don't call it. But Micah is so fast and strong, he knows he's not getting holding calls, so he doesn't think it's any good to flop and get a call. Now, if there's a time where he's getting blocked and he wants to flop, but he is so confident in his abilities that he can fight through and get there, that he ain't played that game yet. He's still too young. And I don't want to say naive, but he's still arrogant and young enough to say, you can have three guys hold me. I'm still getting there. Eventually, he'll start seeing, you know what? Maybe I will start flopping. Zadarius was the goat at this, man. He whipped those arms back like he was getting whatever 100 times a game, and he'd get two holding calls a game. Now, there'd be seven or eight times that people would just bury him into the ground, and you'd be like, Zadarius, what the hell are you doing? But Micah is not there, and you have to pick. Am I going to flail and flop and try and get a hold, or am I going to keep chasing and going? And Micah is too dang athletic, too strong, too unblockable, and he is not at the point in his career yet where he is thinking flopping is the option that is best for him. And that might be a negative for him, FYI. Does that make sense, J-Dub?
Very much does, but I also agree that we have seen him push through obvious holds. We've seen him push through double teams and triple teams. So he's not about to surrender by flailing, to your point. Eventually, he will figure out how to pick his spots. I mean, look, he's in his fifth year, but he's been such a dominant player. I went back and looked. This is the same issue that he experienced in Dallas. He's such a phenomenal player that he basically beats the holds anyway, but they're enough to stop him from getting to the quarterback so they don't get called. Like, this is a legitimate issue.
For sure. You know what it is? It's the Shaqification, Yanification.
Mm-hmm.
They're so big, so athletic, and
can't
so talented. They don't know how to officiate.
Play.
They can't officiate him.
You're right.
And by the way, I don't want holding calls called every time because, trust me, on our end, we could get called a bunch more than what they do. And I know that's not what Packer fans want to hear. Now, is Micah in a different category? 1,000% he is. And is there a chance in blank that he has gone 50 snaps of pass rush and doesn't get held? Of course not. But it has to be egregious. And there have been some egregious ones, but Micah ain't playing that game yet. And it is literally the same thing as Shaq and Giannis. They don't know necessarily how to officiate him yet. And I don't know if he doesn't start playing that game, I don't know if they will.
Let's get to another call before the break. 844-770-3776. I was listening to Christmas music on my drive home from Lambeau last night.
Royalty free?
No, Sirius XM satellite radio. But I heard two consecutive songs that referenced the Yule log. And you know who I thought of.
Oh, Spark Dog. Spark Dog.
Sparky in Sussex. Sparky, good morning, buddy. How's the Yule log?
It's burning bright today, I'll tell you. It was a little chilly. We could have maybe used it out in the stands, but it was a great win. It was really electric when we got the pick to end it. I think the thing that some of us were so happy with was that the play calling, I thought, was great. We were so used to, you know, run on first, run on second, and then throw. We threw on the first play of the game, and we only ran on first and second down three times, and one of those was when we were on the goal line. So I thought the play calling was just superb yesterday. And I think with some of Johnson's comments, and especially the ending handshake, if you want to call it that. I think this LaFleur versus Johnson rivalry, I think it's going to be maybe the metrosexual version of Ditka versus Greg. I think it's going to get even uglier.
Soundgraph!
Kind of like that.
Soundgraph! Yeah,
they definitely did not come to blows like Ditka and Greg. I referenced them in my game story on Channel 3000, too. But there was
Jason, who's no winning doubt. That? If they come to blows, who's winning that?
I don't know. I think Ben Johnson probably fights dirty. It's probably like a Costanza versus Seinfeld type deal. I think he's probably, you know, poking eyes and grabbing hair and stuff like that. Messing up Matt's hair, grabbing him by the eyebrows.
Can I ask one quick question?
No.
Thank you.
Course. Go ahead.
The last 2 minutes, the Bears are driving their, I don't know, 20, 25-yard line. We didn't call any timeouts, and I'm not sure of the strategy there. Did we have called a time? I mean, we called a timeout after they had their timeout on fourth down, but should we have burned a couple timeouts to save ourselves some time? Because they were going for a touchdown regardless. Or I guess what's the play there, Tausch or Jason?
Yeah, I thought I actually thought after they got that first down or got to third and one, that would have been a good time for Green Bay to snap a timeout, because at this point you have to think they could score. But I think LaFleur kind of went into it saying, we're going to win or lose this game with our defense at the end of this game. That was the thought. And had they maybe made it down there with a minute and some change left, maybe he's more likely to snap a TO. But because of how it played out, he didn't. And it was what Ben Johnson was looking for. He tried to get it. And again, not to glaze on Kingsley, but J.J. made the play that threw everybody's plans into the you-know-what, and that's what ended up being the biggest difference maker to me in that game.
So I want to touch on something before we take a break and then get to more calls. You heard Sparky, and thanks for the call, Sparky. Happy holidays, buddy. Reference the play calling. The Bears played a bunch of man coverage, and they played a bunch of one-high safety, which I don't understand why you would do that against these guys, because obviously the Packers had three big downfield throws on them.
You know why they did that?
I was about to ask you why, so yes, please tell me why.
Because they can't get home with four. They, I don't think, felt like they could stop the run without having somebody down, and they didn't want it to just sit there and Jordan Love just pick the –
Yeah,
was
and Love
the right
cooked
move?
Him when they blitzed, too.
You don't blitz Jordan Love. I don't know how many teams have to find this out. Carolina showed you the blueprint. And I think the Browns, now granted they got Myles Garrett, but why any team doesn't sit in too deep and say, how patient are y'all going to be? Now, the Bears don't trust their front seven with their linebackers being out and with their inability to get home with a rushing four. They felt like they needed to do something different. By the way, I just tweeted this. They couldn't get home when they blitzed. And that's
correct.
What led to the big play to Bo. That's what led to the big play down the field to Christian Watson. And that allowed Jordan to check because he saw it on a slant.
Correct.
Because Dennis Allen knew, I can't get home with four. I need to bring pressure. And they didn't do a very good job of disguising it, and Matt LaFleur ate his lunch on those opportunities. That's why.
Right. So my point, and thank you for explaining that, because my point is that's how Matt LaFleur is going to call the game if he gets the looks he wants. But if you're not getting the looks you want, he's not going to be throwing the ball down the field into too high safety coverages. They're just not going to do that. So this is like, he doesn't do this willy-nilly. Like, there's a reason behind why he calls the game the way he does when people don't like it, I guess is my point.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
I think it's very fair. I do think sometime, not today, because you don't want to be Johnny urinating the Cheerios question guy, but I am starting to wonder, can we do something else besides yelling can and everybody and their mother knows you're running the football?
Yeah, they very rarely seem to can to a pass. I don't know what the odds are.
Yeah, just mix it up. Like, go I don't know, like a different kind of canned vegetable. Like you could just mix it up a little bit. Green Giant. Green Giant. Green bean. Canned corn. But it's something else.
They're not yelling it, a vegetable, though. They're just yelling can. Yeah.
Jar. Well,
no, they're not yelling. Yeah,
pickles.
Name another
Carafe.
Container. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tupperware. Tupperware.
Crockpot. Crockpot.
I still don't know why a quarterback doesn't get a huge endorsement deal with somebody and use that as their audible. That'd be a great money maker.
You know. Well, here's a. I guess they couldn't do it, but we could. Prize Picks. Prize Picks.
Oh, good day for Prize Picks.
Yeah, we were good.
Very good day. Yeah. You know what? It's fun. Bowl games, basketball matchup, playoff pushes. It's the best time of the year for sports. And Prize Picks is the best place to go, especially when you feel like you're going to be right. The simplest way to play daily fantasy, pick more or less. On at least two player stats, get them right, cash in. And new this season, you get early payouts. If your lineup gets off to that hot start, you can cash out before the game even ends. Deposits are fast and easy with Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more. Completion percentage, less. Caleb, bing, bing, bing. Nice one. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use code WI. Get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it's good.
To be right. More of your calls next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
That's a really good football team. We got a lot of respect. They got good talent and good coaching. It's a really good football team, and I thought they did a nice job in the second half making whatever adjustments they made. And I mean, they kind of controlled the game in the second half, but luckily when they scored, we were able to answer a couple of times. There weren't a lot of possessions in the game. Both teams were able to possess the ball, and it comes down. It's always like a play here or a play there that's the difference in the game.
That's Matt LaFleur discussing the Bears and yesterday's 28-21 win at Lambeau Field. Let's get back to your calls. We're still running a little bit behind. Let's go to AJ in Oostburg. We know how much Tausch loves Oostburg. AJ, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. Happy Victory Monday. A couple of things for you this morning. Just wondering how, you know, with all these eyes that are looking at plays in the NFL, Are they still getting stuff wrong? Like that first play, it's either an incompletion or it's an interception. How did they get that wrong?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I mean, so that's one thing. And then another thing, I guess this is for more Tausch, going into a game, depending on the reffing crew, now this should never happen, but do you change your game plan at all? Oh, we got this crew, they're going to call more of this, or they're going to call more pass interference. And I don't think that should be a thing. I don't understand how these calls can be such a interpretation thing. And it's irritating, you know. If you could touch on that. And it was a great win. We'll take it. And, yeah, just happy Victory Monday. And just if you could just elaborate on that a little bit. You guys know a lot more about that than myself.
Sure, AJ. Thanks for the call. Yes, you scout refs too. And I don't know if you change necessarily the game plan, but you emphasize. If this crew calls more defensive holdings or grabbing, you will make sure to let your defensive backs understand that. If a group calls a lot of holdings on the offensive line, you'll even more maybe reemphasize, but more so it almost goes the other way. This is a more lenient crew, so push and see how much you can get away with. If they don't call a ton of holdings, be even more aggressive with it. So everybody looks at that. They'll tell you the stats. They'll tell you kind of what the emphasis is, where they rank compared to the other 15 crews of officials. And you don't say, well, we're not going to run screen passes on this because they really look for guys downfield. but you will definitely reemphasize or de-emphasize things that these crews really focus in on. So it's just like you're scouting an opponent, not to the same degree, but you want to get that information so that your players know that going into a game.
Yeah, and to AJ's other point, I don't understand, like, the whole Sky Judge, New York nerve center concept is supposed to eliminate that kind of stuff. Like, the ultimate ruling on the completion that wasn't the interception or fumble that wasn't, they initially ruled it a completion, a fumble that the Bears recovered. It looked to me very clearly like Evan Williams had the ball. So to change it to an incompletion allows LaFleur to win the challenge, and it's certainly better than if they had ruled that the play would stand, because that would have made sense either. But the ball never touched the ground. So it can't be an incomplete pass. It has to be something else. Either it's a catch, fumble recovery, or an interception, fumble recovery for the Packers. We'll get to more of your calls. I know there's a bunch of you still on hold. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. That's the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Liz is more, but we have one more break to hit before the start of the 11 o'clock hour. So I'll tell you about Associated Bank. I'm sure you're tuning into our social media channels every game day to catch our three things to watch with Associated Bank. And there's three things, actually there's a bunch more than just three things, but there's three things about their customer service that are second to none. They've got early pay, access to your direct deposit up to 2 days early from your employer. There's credit monitoring to make sure you're ready to make that big purchase and make sure your credit is in the right place. And of course, there's fraud protection, which I experienced myself when some ne'er-do-well tried to take my information. Associated Bank had my back. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more.
Ne'er-do-well.
Yeah, I like that phrase.
That's a good word. That was a weird one. What were you thinking about saying there?
The same thing that Micah Parsons called Keyshawn Nixon, which it starts with an M, and it depends if you make it one word or two. It has
trucker.
An F in there somewhere. Yeah. He says he has short man syndrome.
Gotcha.
And that he's a feisty fellow. More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Still Kings of the North.
This was a playoff game.
The Packers beat the Bears.
We're going to win the division. We're going to be in a great spot.
Continue reacting next right here on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.
If you're asking who we learned more about, I think everybody learned more about the Chicago Bears. The version of Jordan Love that we saw is what we've come to expect this time of year. But what I didn't realize is that the Chicago Bears have a running game that they can consistently lean on, regardless of who the opponent is, and they have a quarterback that can pull a rabbit out of a hat. Now, it's going to lead to some plays that leave you scratching your head, but there are also some throws in there that only a handful of people on the planet Earth can make.
That is Chris Canty of Unsportsmanlike, friend of show, breaking down Packers-Bears. Packers win 28-21. They are now alone atop the NFC North at 9-3-1 with another matchup with the Bears 12 days away. 12 days of matching up with the Bears again. All right. We've got Reggie, Mo, and Mike, who we're going to get to in the 11 o'clock hour, so you guys stay there through the break. But we need to get to Josh and Kenosha, because Josh and Kenosha is a Bears fan? Now, I noticed there were some Bears fans throughout the week who were crashing the YouTube commentary. So thanks for the subscribing, because you can't chat if you don't subscribe, so thank you for
How was the crowd? What was the split yesterday, crowd-wise?
It could be a little bit misleading because there's hunting orange in the crowd, right? Because those are some of the warmest.
It sounded like there were a decent amount of Bears fans there from what I could hear on TV.
40%? I first of all, I understand that they're not wearing their hunting gear because they came straight from their tree stand. They're generally wearing it because it's the warmest clothing they have. Again, I don't sit in the stand, so correct me if I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, I'll correct you if you're wrong.
Fresh off the hunt and come right rolling right on in.
One guy brought his deer with him. He was gutting it right there in section 302.
They let him take a knife into the stadium? Better get their security figured out.
I think he used a plastic knife from the concession stand. And secondly, I did think that there were some moments where I was like, wow, that's a lot of positive reaction to a Bears play. So, again, navy blue, which is also their other color, you know, it doesn't pop like Honolulu blue or purple from the Vikings. So I can't say what the breakdown was, but it was more than I anticipated. Let me put it that way. And there's more Bears fans calling than I was anticipating today, too. At least one of them. And it's Josh in Kenosha. Josh, good morning. Thanks for holding on. What the hell are you doing here?
Good morning to you both. First, I would like to say thank you to Jason for making me smarter every time I listen. And
wow, you should call more often.
This is going to have a twist coming. I can hear this a mile away.
Exactly. But
a very astute observation from Taos last week about us Bears fans being reserved because we just had our hearts ripped out again yesterday. It's not fun being a Bears fan. These games are not fun. I don't enjoy watching them. I dread them every year because I know the result. It's two automatic losses every year. I'm tired of losing to the Packers. I'm tired of you guys having a franchise quarterback and we don't. It's just, it's frustrating to say the least. There are no moral victories. The only one that matters is who won the game. And yet again, for the 52nd time since 1992, I've had to watch my team lose. It's depressing. Congrats on another division title.
Josh, I'm not here to make you feel better necessarily. But I do think, and I want to get, this is great. I'm really glad you called, and not just because you complimented us. Do you not feel?
I complimented you. In fairness, he complimented you.
No, he said you made a very astute observation, if you were listening, which sounded like a compliment to me, to you. Yeah.
Absolutely compliment. Also spot on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your compliments.
Josh, is Caleb Williams a franchise quarterback? Don't get all mad at me, Jason. He asked that
question. At this point, he is not, but he is working his way towards it. He is starting to win me over, and yesterday I don't put it on him. I put it on Ben Johnson. The clock management at the end was abysmal. Run the ball on 4th and 1, call a timeout, take your 4 shots to the end zone. He got too cute.
Or
just make a good throw. Or just make a good throw on time and you have a touchdown.
I don't know if you heard. I don't know if you heard earlier, but the astute observationist said that it was all because of Kingsley and Igbari's third down play.
And defense made a play.
So you have to look through that prism. Josh, I want to get to the other calls, but I don't want to let you go yet because I do want to ask you, don't you, and maybe this is just, as you pointed out, 52-16. Now, in the games that that Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, and Jordan Love have started against the Chicago Bears, but are you just so beaten down by Packers Bears that you're not allowing yourself to get your hopes up that the gap is closing? That you have a legit coach who, even though you disagree with the way he handled the final minute, you have a quarterback that looks like he's capable of being a franchise quarterback. Are you not allowing yourself to hope that this thing is going to turn around and it's going to be competitive and the Bears are going to win their share and the Packers are going to win their share over the next decade? Are you not allowing yourself to think that way?
Not at all, because until you get the results, what's the point of hoping?
Gotta give them hope.
There's nothing to indicate that it's going to be competitive. If Jordan Love doesn't get hurt in that game last year, make it 53 losses.
That's true.
To be quite honest.
That's fair. Yeah,
there's no reason for us Bears fans to hope.
And but even Josh, though, quick question. Don't you feel I feel like you guys are in a better place than I thought going into last week. Watching how you played yesterday, I think you should be more optimistic than, and I can't believe I'm saying this. I think you should be more optimistic. Your O line is good. Your running game is good. Your coaching is good.
Tell that to the loss column. The only thing that matters is wins and losses. And I got to listen to people like Strofe and Wallace later who are going to be like, we dominated. The Suckin' Bears still suck. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
All right. Okay. So, Josh, here's what I'd like you to do. You're obviously an avid listener to our station, despite your Bears allegiance. So we appreciate that a ton, buddy. But I want you to do this for me, okay? I want you to call back. It's more of a long-term tease. Packers-Bears Saturday, December 20th, 12 days from today. Okay, then Sunday we'll have Sunday Karma. But then Monday, Tausch and I will be back on the air. Whatever happens, good, bad, or indifferent with your Bears, I want you to call on that Monday, the 22nd. Okay?
I will. I will call.
All right. We'll even fast pass you.
Wow.
The coveted fast pass.
All right, Josh. Josh is beaten into the dirt, man.
He's inconsolable.
Bear fans, I'm telling you, I came away more impressed with the Bears after yesterday's game than I ever was prior to it.
Yeah,
ever
me too.
Was.
Yeah,
but isn't that condescending of us and kind of proving Josh's point?
A little bit.
No.
They were actually competitive in the game and had a chance in the fourth quarter.
It's condescending. If you phrase it that way,
it is.
Yeah. But
it's condescending.
I was not a Caleb Williams believer, and he certainly is nowhere close to Jordan Love in terms of his development.
58% completion yesterday.
I know, but he made some throws that, again, I didn't think he was capable of. He made a couple of tight window throws. I just thought it was he was better than I thought he was. He really was. And I think there are signs that with this coach and as he learns how to play, you know, Tom Waddle – speaking of people that make us smarter, I thought he made a great point with us last week that, like, basically with Lincoln Riley and the USC offense, it was, hey, man, go make a play. And what was great about him in college was his improvisational skills. Now, if he can keep that and run the Ben Johnson offense the way, say, I don't know, Jared Goff ran it, to your point that you made in the comparison last week, there's a chance he could be really good. So I'm not condescending to Josh.
Jason. You missed that great line I just said. He's so good at improv.
It's a good joke. Good joke.
Thanks, Jesse. Here's the problem, Jason, and I don't know. Ben Johnson is a really good coach. Any Packer fans, even Matt LaFleur, would admit he's good. I don't know if you can get him to stay in the pocket and go through progressions on a consistent basis. Ben Johnson, after the first part, said, we ain't doing that anymore. Everything had to be play action and movement, and everything is escape to the right. I would bet Jeff Hafley is not going to let him escape to his right in the next tilt against this team. He can't. They didn't even trust him to just drop back and throw. They didn't even trust him to do it. So until that happens, I understand the angst of Bear fans.
Do you love anything as much as you love Tito's vodka, though? That's really the question.
His comic joke.
Love Tito's. Say that again.
Your comic joke, Caleb Williams.
That was pretty good. Improv. Well, Jason just blew by it. Christian Watson.
If I'm talking, sometimes when you say things, I can't hear you when I'm talking. But you talk a lot when I'm talking.
Wow.
So he ignores
you. Why don't you get
you?
A Tito's? Tito's handmade vodka goes good when you're pouting or when you're celebrating a big win.
It's not even 11:15. It's 11:11.
Yeah, I'm getting there. If you'd stop interrupting me, I'd get it done. Spicy Bloody on game day, or if you just want to have a little cranberry and Tito's over to Yule Log at night. Tito's isn't just about great drinks, though. They also give back in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and doing real good in the communities across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So next time you're raising a glass, make sure it's Tito's handmade vodka, crafted to be savored responsibly.
The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.